once again Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know what time it is. This is No Chaser. I am the co-host of No Chaser. I am JT, and I'm going to just pass this baton over to the man, the main man on this show, be Mac Williams. Welcome, my man.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Hey, Jerry. Hey, what's happening, everybody? Hope you've all had a great week. I've had an absolutely great week. Been busy. Hope you all are blessed where you are. Hope everything's going great for you wherever you are. We're here live on the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams and JT. Want to start things off by letting everybody know that this show is sponsored by TrinityWebSolutions.org. Trinity Web Solutions has a lot of different products. Do-it-yourself websites. We have email, constant contact. We have whatever you need to help your business or your web business, a blog, whatever you have, and you're trying to put your name out, domains, whatever it is, please go over to TrinityWebSolutions.org. Check out all the products there. We have too many to mention right now, but I'm encouraging everyone to go over and check that out, okay? In the meantime, want to start off, go right into what we're talking about today. One of the things is that I think is kind of funny is that we have, and I'm going to get your take on this, Jerry, and if anybody's listening to the show and wants to call in, please call in and tell us what you think. But today, found out that A-Rod is suing the Major League Baseball over the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a lot of kahunas, and I think he has a lot of nerve to sue baseball and claim they have a witch hunt when they obviously have proof that he did it.
Wait a minute now. There's been no proof shown out there. It's just speculation right now.
Right. Well, let's say this. Well, let's just say this. They did the same thing to the all-time hit home run leader based off testimony. Am I right?
Yeah, but he never got convicted of anything.
No,
it was just a natural assumption.
No, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying, though, is if you put – what I'm trying to say is this man went to trial for perjury. Remember that? So.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm saying is, I know they don't have concrete proof. Actually, they haven't really got concrete proof on what Clemens, Barry Bonds, A-Rod's been linked by somebody else. So, you know, I just think you have a lot of nerve because here's my thing: if you were going, what gets me is now that the season's over and you've gotten your checks, now you want to sue. But why didn't you want to sue when you were going through this and you were getting paid? Because, you know, so, I mean, now it's going to be a war. And, you know, for me, I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like this just brings a bad mark on him. I guess he's fighting for his reputation, but to me, I think his reputation's already messed up. Same as Roger Clemens. You know, even though Roger Clemens went through everything and didn't get convicted of anything, you know, I don't think it did Roger Clemens any good. You know, I think he's still looked at as a cheater. I just find it funny. We'll see what happens, but you know, I don't know what to say about it except to say I think he got a lot of nerve because
let me run this down because supposedly and it's all going to come out into the light supposedly, and you tell me this is a little underhanded. Supposedly, Major League Baseball is paying this guy Anthony Bosch, who's supposed to be having all this evidence against A-Rod, $5 million covering all his legal bills. And making a deal with Major League Baseball to include the $5 million. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Anthony Bosch, is supposed to be a real slime ball. So, and the fact is, A-Rod has never tested positive for a drug for PEDs. Never mm-hmm. tested positive.
Right.
Since he came out and said I used them or whatever, he's never tested positive. And they're just going on what this guy is telling them, saying he's got all this text messaging and emails between corresponding between him and A-Rod. Nothing's been put out there. No one, I mean, I would say the public hasn't seen it. Supposedly some reporters, especially this guy from ESPN, like, and his name escapes me right now.
Buster O'Neill or?
No, I don't think whoever his name is. I forget his name. Anyway, he's
Tim
supposed
Kirsten?
To have seen. No, no, no. It was a younger guy, younger than Kirchen, supposed to have seen some of this. Some of this proof, supposedly. Now, like I said, he's 38 years old, and I'm not using his age as an excuse, but the reason I'm saying this is everyone else that's gotten some type of penalty, okay, and they agreed to it, they just caved in and said, I'm not going through the process, and they get 50 games. Braun got 65 games. He's the only one. They want to give him 211 games, which is, in essence, because he's 38 years old, it's ending his career.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying I'm feeling sorry for A-Rod, but I think this is a witch hunt. I think they're actually trying to get rid of A-Rod. And it's pretty hypocritical of the fact is that Major League Baseball is trying to come down all this now when they welcomed it when they were hitting all these home runs and turned the other cheek, and including all the media that was covering these guys hitting all the home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew what was going on
mm-hmm.
when everybody, Sosa and McGuire and all these guys were hitting home runs, crazy amount of home runs.
Mm-hmm.
But now, supposedly, and I'm going to put this in quotation marks, they want to clean up the sport. Now, the problem I have with this, Mac, is this. They named this 20 guys from Major League Baseball. I think I told you about this before.
Right.
Named 20 guys from Major League Baseball, and they all these guys except for A-Rod decided to take some type of suspension. No one's mentioning there's 100 guys that tested positive, and maybe and I think some of these guys on supposedly on this list of 100 people tested more than once. With a positive test. But they haven't come out that. They're so focused on supposedly cleaning up the sport with these 20 people that no one's talking about the guys that are 100 that have tested positive.
And so, they're all big names.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. There's probably some
no,
big
I'm just
names.
Saying they're all, I'm saying they're probably all big names. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that has nothing to do. I'm saying they're probably all big names, which means 100 and some or whatever aren't big names.
Right. Now, they're saying that A-Rod was supposedly hindering the investigation, trying to pay people off, when in fact, and this was out earlier in, when his biogenesis came out, Anthony Bosch, and it was reported, Anthony Bosch came to A-Rod and said, look, give me whatever amount, I think it was $100,000 or whatever he wanted. And I won't say anything, or I won't go to Major League Baseball, because Major League Baseball was pressuring him, Anthony Bosch, to give up the goods. And A-Rod refused. And all of a sudden, Anthony Bosch went to Major League Baseball and said, I'll give up everything. So how big a slime ball is this guy, and they're relying on the testimony and supposedly evidence of this guy, that he worked in both sides of the fence, and that's what they're relying on to get A-Rod. And 211 games is a lot compared to 50, 65 games
true.
These other guys
that's
got.
True. No, that's true. Yeah, well, I will say this. Then I'll say this. And I probably won't be popular, but if the guy got the goods and you really did it, I don't care about him playing. I don't care about him playing both sides of the fence, because at the end of the day, if I got your hand in the cookie jar, I got your hand in the cookie jar. It doesn't matter if guess what, police do the same thing. I got a guy who's a small-time dealer on the street, I'm going to use him to go get the big guy, and I'm going to pressure him. But at the end of the day, if that guy has no – if the guy doesn't do the undercover, they don't catch him, and they can't get no evidence on him, can't keep him. So here's my point. If A-Rod does this and it comes out that they have no evidence on him, okay, cool. He gets out, he sues baseball, whatever, whatever. They resolve it, good. The guy proves they have nothing, great. But if this guy has the goods on A-Rod, then he should deal with the suspension. I don't feel sorry for him because – but I will say this. Obviously, for him to do what he's doing with this lawsuit, he must feel pretty confident that the evidence isn't as compelling. Now, having said that, I'm going to say what a lot of people say anyway. I believe he dirty. I believe Barry Bonds dirty. I believe Sammy Sosa dirty. I believe all of them was dirty. I believe all of them was dirty. All of them. Jason Giambi, all of them. All of them was dirty. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't think it's good for the game. But for me, like I said, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Part of this I blame on baseball. Because, how should I say it? It's like having a town of 500 people, and a town is totally out of control and overrun with drug dealers. And it's only only 5,000 people in the town.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you really brought the military down, if you really wanted to shut that down, you could shut that down airtight. You could shut it down. It's not too big.
Right.
If you really, really, really want to do it. So to
me,
if baseball really wanted to shut this down, they could shut this down. And you know, I agree with you that they are picking and choosing people. And because to me, I don't understand how you feel like if I get a big enough fish and punish him and let the other fish go, it's sending a bigger message. I don't think so. I think if you send all of them in there, you'll get them. It's like, I don't understand that. You know, so, yeah, I'm kind of on your side on this one, but I don't feel sorry for A-Rod. You know, that's just me. But honestly, I think in the public opinion, unless you're a Yankees fan or unless you're an Alex Rodriguez fan, this is going to make his – it's not going to save his reputation. It's not going
to.
He'll still be regarded as dirty. He'll still be –
right.
I mean, a lot of people don't – Alex Rodriguez is never in between. It's always either you hate him or you like him. Do I like Alex Rodriguez? I like him. I like him a little bit as a baseball player. He's cool. As a person, I don't like him because he comes across as phony. He's very phony. He's very rehearsed. He's very savvy, but he's not himself. The person that's on TV is not the Alex Rodriguez that you see probably behind closed doors, I'm pretty sure. And I can sniff it. I can smell it on him. So, for me, you know, it is what it is, but like I said, I just say if the guy got the goods on him, I don't care if he's playing both sides. Because if you got your good, if I got you dead to right, then I got you dead to right. If you did it, you did it. I believe based on what you're saying, though, that Alex probably won't get convicted. He'll end up settling with him.
And I've always said this. I've been saying this ever since this Biogenesis thing came up. And really, ever since that Major League Baseball decided they want to give him 211 games versus everyone else, saying he did all these egregious acts to warrant 211 games, which I think is really bogus in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, and I've said this before, I'm not an Alex Rodriguez fan, but this is typical big boy, want to bully one of its underlings and think it can get away with it just by because who they are, meaning Major League Baseball because who they are, think they can just get away with anything. A lot of these players succumb to it. Alex Rodriguez said, I'm not going for it. I'm not succumbing to this. You can't push me around like this. You can't do me like this and single me out saying I did 211 games more than anybody else. I mean, you know, he may be guilty, but 211 games? Come on. I mean, that's outrageous compared to what the other guys are getting. So,
because Brian, what did Brian Braun get?
Brian Bourne got 65 games. 65 right. games. And it's 65, 265 games to 211 games is a huge
true.
Leap.
I give you that.
It's
I give you
huge
that.
Huge leap.
I give you that.
So,
and it should be. And actually, to be honest with you, like I said, baseball's got to fix itself. I mean, first of all, I think they need a new commissioner. And I think you need somebody who's going to come in and do what they got to do. But, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, like I said, I hope Alex Rodriguez, you know, if he's not the guy, if he's not guilty, then he'll be proven not. You know, if it's not enough evidence, then it's not enough evidence. I mean, you know, but like I said, I don't think you can – I mean, look, you had a guy with the needles, the syringes, the cotton balls and everything on what's his name, Roger Clemens, and they still couldn't convict him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for me, I'm just like, okay, you're going to have some pretty damaging evidence, you know. That's what I have to say about that. Other than that, you know, the baseball playoffs are going on. I don't know who you're rooting for. Of course, I'm rooting for my Tigers. Always got to root for my team. But wanted to ask you, what did you think about the tweet? I know everybody kind of talked about it last week, and I'm kind of late on it, but I didn't really talk about it too much. The tweet about between Kevin Durant and Dwayne Wade. To me, I didn't think it was a big enough deal to blow it up like they did. But I guess it just adds to the whole excitement of the season. And I don't know if you heard about it.
No,
but,
I didn't.
Well, you know, Kevin basically said that he thought that James Harden should be top 10 right now, considered top 10 in the NBA, and Dwayne Wade shouldn't be anymore. And, Dwight Howard basically said, basically Dwayne Wade said, tweeted out a tweet that said, note to self, must show, something to the effect of must show Kevin Durant my place in the game or something again. And to which Kevin Durant replied, show me, don't tweet me. And I just thought that was funny. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's got fans fired up because now they're like, man, I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to see, you know, because now it just amps everything
up. You think
it
came a little personal. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think everybody overblew it. But at the same time, I think it just made everything more. It made everything more competitive. Let's just say it that way. It's more competitive.
Put a little bit edge onto it because of.
And I kind of like that. So, just didn't know if you had heard that, but I'm just reporting that that's what happened. So I'm waiting to see what's gonna happen. But if I had my money, I would bet on Durant before I bet on Dwayne Wade. 25 years old, a lot younger, and a lot more determined.
Is that all he is?
Yeah, he just turned 25. And
wow.
Yeah, he just turned 20. You got to remember, he only did 1 year at Texas.
Okay.
He only did 1 year at Texas and left.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I also wanted to talk about the government shutdown. And I know it's kind of a knee-jerk thing, but my feeling on the government shutdown, I know I don't like people losing their jobs or not being able to work. Don't get me wrong, because I've been laid off before. I know what it's like. Do I think it is a good thing? No. There are things that I think that aren't good to be done but need to be done. I think there's a principle. I think for principle it was a good thing, Do I think it was good for the people? Absolutely not. Do I think it was necessary? I think so.
Stop. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, I'll tell you why. Let me put it in perspective. Here's how I look at it. The Obamacare was already being wavered out the butt. Government doesn't have to do it. None of Congress has to submit to it. They got a waiver. They're not in it. Unions aren't in it.
My question is this. Okay. My question is this. Mm-hmm. When you say Congress and the Senate, whatever, mm-hmm. are you saying just Democrats or Republicans
or
both?
No, I'm saying everybody. I'm saying
okay.
both.
Okay. So, okay. Just make that clear.
Saying, right. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that everybody in Congress should do it, Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
If it's good for everybody else, it should be good for you too. I agree with that part of it. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's all of Congress, period. I think all of government employees should do it. If you want to do it, you should be part of it too. I mean, so my thing is, I just don't think it's fair. This is why the fight, I think, is right. If the law is so good, why is everybody getting these waivers? Why is everybody being excused out of this? Why is the law, on the one hand, Democrats say it's the law of the land, Obama said it's the law of the land, which I agree with, but why delay certain things in the law? You're not supposed to do that. If it's a law, you don't delay a law. You have to go by the letter of the law. You cannot change a law, delay a parts of a law and something just because it's not working right. If anything, you got to fix it or try to fix it, but you can't just delay it. And then you can't waiver people out of it and say, well, if you're a campaign contributor, you contribute all this money, you can. If you just that person and that person, you okay with it, you can't do it. Unions, all that. And it's funny how everybody who backed it when the law was first signed, of course, have not even read not a damn word of it, you know, now don't want to be a part of it. And now you have, and I understand nobody liking the government shutdown. I understand nobody wants to touch Obamacare. The people who are for Obama don't want to touch Obamacare because they say it does all this good. Great. If it does good, that's fine. My problem is, but when premiums are going up and it affects the economy negatively, that overrides the good it's doing for some, but then for the economy and for the other things that are not going right and affecting doctors and weights and things like that, what I'm saying is those things have to be fixed. So what I'm saying is I don't get, and I've been on Facebook going back and forth with some people, and I don't understand and get this selfish mentality that basically says it's a good law, it works for us, screw everybody else, and screw the economy, it don't matter what it do, but it's doing so much good, so screw the economy, screw everybody else's premiums, the rich, the people who got insurance, who's being risen to pay for this, you know, bump them, we don't care. And I just think that's very, you know, selfish. So all I'm saying
okay.
is this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right.
I'm gonna let you finish.
I'm just saying the negative effect should override the overall what it's doing to everybody, to all other people, shouldn't be overlooked just because of a few who want the Obamacare. That's fine. All I'm saying to you is this: I want it fixed. If you want to have Obamacare, have Obamacare. It's optional. If that's what you want to do, do it. But my thing is, when it starts to affect the economy and it's starting to affect people, and people are starting to get part-time jobs instead they can't find a full-time job because big business can't afford to keep paying salaries and paying everything else and paying all the stuff that costs for Obamacare, my whole thing is that's a problem because now it's affecting other people who don't need Obamacare. But because you need other people to pay for other people who don't have insurance, it's now affecting the economy, affecting other people bad. So what I'm saying is it needs to be fixed. But the problem I have is that the Democrats and Obama don't want to fix it. They're just saying, screw you. It doesn't matter. It's the law. It's what we want. We're not touching it. You're not going to change it. You're not going to delay it. It's funny. You won't delay it for a year. You won't delay it for a year, which finally they offered them, okay, look, just delay it for a year. We'll go ahead and approve the government staying open. They offered it to them. They told them, nah, we ain't doing it. So for me, you know why?
Wait a minute. When you say that, that's BS. For the simple fact is, you know, it's good and well that if they agree to that, then it's going to be some type of other excuse next year. And then it's going to be some type of other excuse until Obama is no longer president. So don't even go there and say that delay it, yeah, we'll approve it, and then we'll look at it a year from now. That's BS because the fact is the same thing's going to happen next year.
It's going to happen every year anyway.
Well, it's not going to happen.
But I'm saying this government shut, when something comes up, when the purse strings come up, this is going to happen anyway. It's going to happen again anyway. So my thing is, but here's my problem. You're right what you're saying. Okay, you're probably right what you're saying, but that's not my strategy.
Mm-hmm.
My strategy is put it off for a year, and then, okay, yeah, we have to come back to it, but why don't you try? But my thing is, if you're going to delay it for a year, then fix the stuff. My thing is, if it's like, Jerry, it's like you came up with a law, and then you start when you enact a law, you don't delay a law. A president can't go back and change. Can't go back and just willy nilly say, "Okay, we ain't gonna institute that part."
Wait a minute.
We'll just institute this part.
Who agreed to the law? Who agreed to the law? Okay.
Everybody. It was voted in. It was voted. It was passed.
Well, okay. So if it's passed, what's the problem now? If it was passed and it was law. It was passed
you
and was law, and the people,
okay,
wait a minute, and the people that were in Congress at the time, the majority
okay.
of the people that were in Congress at the time, are still there. Now,
okay,
now
let me
the
you, okay,
no,
let
wait
me
a
ask
minute,
you this
wait, wait a minute, wait a minute, before
go
I go,
ahead,
it,
go ahead.
And if you just think this is about Obamacare, you're wrong. You're totally wrong. It's not
okay.
about Obamacare. It's just trying to
okay.
show this president up because the House is in control by the party that's in the White House,
mm-hmm.
and they'll do anything they possibly can to try to show this president up and try to fight this president until he's out of office. And if you cannot see that, you're looking at a rose-colored glasses. It's obvious.
You know why I can't see it? Because here's the facts. The facts is the guy was voted in. He had a bitter feud. He had a bitter battle with Hillary Clinton. Okay. He won. He won.
Okay.
Everybody was infatuated. Everybody liked the guy. So it wasn't like everybody from the beginning was like, "Boo, we hate this guy. We're gonna kill him. We're gonna do this and this that. We don't want him around." Okay.
The opposite party did. So
but
you
that
can't say
happens.
That.
That's everybody. If it was
the
a Republican,
opposite party.
Went, okay, but that's my point. My problem with this, my problem in this country is this. It doesn't really, and you know me, it doesn't really matter whether you're Republican or Democrat.
I
look at it by policy. I don't look at it by race. I don't look at it by I don't like this guy because he looks ugly or whatever. I don't care about that. All I care about is does the policy make sense. When I look at the facts, when I look at my own research, I'm not talking about what's told to me just on TV. I'm talking about going to the sources, going to .gov, going to this, looking at stats and looking at what's happened. My thing is, it goes by, does it make sense? All I'm saying, this is what bothers me about us. I'm going to tell you what bothers me. And I said this before. What bothers me is that 43 presidents have come and gone. Are there radical people who don't like Obama in this country because he's black? Absolutely. Do I believe that there are people who say awful, nasty things about Obama? Absolutely. Do I agree they say racist things about Obama? Absolutely. Do I believe that? Yes. Do I believe there's a radical right and a radical left? Absolutely.
Sure, I believe that too.
But my problem is that we've seen, and I talk about us, African Americans, seem to forget, but I didn't, that since the 70s, since I was coming up, we've always called the president names outside of Mr. President. outside of Nixon or whatever you want to call it, whatever their name is, we've called them that, idiot. Our black people, I've grown up with black people calling them Cracker, Peckerwood, Honky, everything. Now all of a sudden, when we criticize a president or we go against policies, which 43 have come and gone, and we've done the same thing, all of us, black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, we always criticize presidents. That's what's unique about our country. We can say whatever we want to say or whatever. But why is it that now, all of a sudden, when 44 comes and he's black, everything that we say against policy or whatever, if we're white and we go against this policy, we're racist. If we don't if we filibuster, if we go against something, if we go through the same efforts that they're making against Obama, if you look through history, everybody's made those efforts. Everybody. What's different?
But see, you're bringing race into this, and there's nothing I was saying about race.
Right. I'm not saying just as about race. I'm just saying I'm using that as because I'm kind of voicing my opinion about things that I've been going back and forth with people all week about, and everybody makes this. My problem is this. When it's Obama, why is everything now all of a sudden different? When there's nothing different, because it's the same thing that the other 43 got.
You're missing what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they're
fighting against Obama because it's Obama, and you're saying they're fighting him because he's the opposite party. But both why is it that we have a problem with it? But see, that's the deep rooted problem because I'm not talking about black people having an issue
because it's Obama. I'm talking about because the opposite party, and this is exactly what I said, the opposite party of what the Congress is the majority of is in the White House. And do anything to show that opposite party up to make themselves look.
But they've always done that. Republican and Democrat. That's what they do. You're absolutely right. If it was a Republican right now, Democrats would be trying to do the same thing.
That's the point I was making.
But to me, that's not something to be mad about or a big deal. That's politics. All I'm saying to you is that. But everybody's not thinking like you because most of us are saying it's a racial thing. And I'm like,
No. I'm saying this is what I'm saying. I'm saying because the opposite party is in the White House and Congress is controlled by the other party, they're going to do everything they can to make their party look the better party. And have the parties in the White House look bad. And I'm taking everything else out of that. This is strictly a political thing. And the problem is this. This has not gotten better. This has gotten worse over the years for the fact that both parties have been going back and forth. Both parties have been playing the American people. And giving them the okie doke when these guys in back rooms are slapping each other on the back and having a cigar with each other. But in public, like I said,
I got to see that first. My thing is, in public, these guys want to rip each other's head off.
And over the years, it's gotten even more venomous. The American people are caught in the middle. Now, I said this yesterday, and I think I may have said it on my Sunday show, and I'll say it again. Now, I don't know who's dumber. The politicians in D.C. or the American people who voted them in. I don't know who's dumber. Because the fact is, all this garbage has been going on for years. And we vote these guys in year after year, and we bitch about it because of things like this happen. And right. then each one is pointing the fingers at it. And the
right.
American people voted these people in.
Yeah, but I to be honest with you, I don't feel sorry for the American people because this is the process we have, and you're right about what you're saying. They cry and whine and moan about these people in. But, you know, do I think it's all Congress's fault? No, because here's the thing. The facts are there is that Obamacare is not a good bill. It's not a good bill. But nobody is seeing the effects of it and how complicated and how complex and how this thing is affecting the economy already, and we haven't even delved into it yet. So my problem is, here's my problem. I understand people are crying about Congress, but what I'm saying is, what if people are really, this is just a what-if question. What if they really doing this because they're standing on principle and don't like the bill and see the negative effects on it? I don't understand why nobody can't ever just pop up the possibility that it could be that. Because if it
well,
was,
you know,
so guess
I,
what?
I expect you to say that because you think along the same lines as the majority of Congress. So
No. Mine is based on facts. Because the
mm-hmm.
fact is that Obamacare, the effects that it's had, is documented. We're not making up stories. It's there. So what I'm saying is, if it's not good, and it's what I'm saying is, I'm not even talking about getting rid of Obamacare. I'm saying fix it. That's all I'm saying. But Obama don't want to
Wait a minute.
Why would you give a waiver to a bill that you say is so good? Why would you exempt some and not exempt all? Why would you do that? And why would you change things and delay certain things in the law that you pass that you say is so good?
Wait a minute. There's a lot of laws out there that have exemptions. Even the IRS rules people have exemptions for. So when you say that, there's a lot of laws that people are exempt from.
You don't get waivers. Nobody gets waivers from taxes. You don't get waivers from taxes unless you stick it somewhere where outside of this country. You don't get waivers from taxes. Nobody gets waivers from taxes.
You have legal loopholes
in the law, and you should change
the
law.
What's the difference?
If people don't like
you
it.
Tell me. Then what's the difference? You tell me what's the difference between a waiver and a loophole.
The difference is the loophole was written in the law. Waivers wasn't written into law. The waivers were not written.
Wait a minute.
If
the waivers weren't written into the law, then they shouldn't be getting waivers. Plain and simple.
Exactly.
So that's exactly my point.
That's exactly my point, Jerry.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The waivers are being given out by the White House on their own merits. They're doing this. I'm telling you. Look it up. Unions are getting away, but the law doesn't say, the law that you read, those 1,500 pages, don't say nothing about, it says nothing in the letter of that law that says these people get waivers, labor unions get waivers, so-and-so gets waivers. They don't. This is something that they're doing on their own. That's the problem, Jerry. I'm not disagreeing with you in saying that. My thing is, if the law is so good, why Congress ain't got it? If the law is so good, why they waive from it? If the law is the law of the land, the law should apply to everybody, should it not? You'd be the first one to say, if you found out a congressman, whether he's Republican or Democrat, gets pulled over for speeding, he going 90 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, and he don't get a ticket because the police lets him go because he's a congressman, you'd be the first one to say, that's ridiculous. Because if I did it, you'd have took my license, took my car, and had me walking home or took me to jail.
Right.
But if you saw that, you would have said that's not fair. Why? Because the law should apply to everybody. If the law says you have an exemption or a waiver, that's something different. Then guess what? I'd be the first one sitting here telling you, hey, Jerry, you know what? They shouldn't be mad about this. Y'all passed the law. That's what it says. You got to follow it. But when you put a, when you create a law and say it's great and it's this and it's that, and you're saying if you like your look, when the president says to you, if you, and I'm not blaming him for this, but I'm just saying it's the law that's causing it. But if a guy says to me, if you like your coverage, you can keep it, but yet it's costing so much to the other companies and to other people that got straight insurance, you're not at work. You have no choice. Now they're dropping you off of it and throwing you into Obamacare. So guess what? So the whole thing about you can keep your coverage if you like it, no, you can't. You can't keep it. And you know as well as I do and everybody else in this United States, most people on their own cannot afford to pay for their own health care coverage. You can't. You can't even you know how Cobra is. Cobra come to your house, you be like, nah, that's all right. I'm going to find another job. I can't do Cobra. Cobra charge you out the butt. Well, everybody knows that. So all I'm saying to you, Jerry, is that I'm saying to you, my thing is change the law. Change the law, delay it, and change it. That's all I'm saying. If you go, if you got the right to wave people out of it and tell people you can't come, you can't get in it, then if you're a president, you have the right. You're giving out waivers. You're saying this person doesn't have to do it, this group doesn't have to do it, this group doesn't have to do it. Then why can't you go back and change the law and fix it if it's so bad that you're delaying certain parts of it? We're not just talking about giving waivers. We're talking about delaying parts of it because it's not working. And the effects of it on the economy are not good. It's going to rock this country with economy because you have a pool of everybody paying for a whole bunch of other everybodies who don't have it. So here's my point. If Obamacare is so good, everybody should be under it, number one. Number two, if you're delaying parts of the law, that means it's not right. If you're doing it yourself, this is the man who signed it, said it's my law, it's my signature piece, this is my thing, then fix it. But if you're telling me, you're telling everybody I'm not fixing it, you ain't touching it, I ain't doing nothing to it, even when you come back and say, okay, tell you what, now we ain't going to repeal it, we don't want to put it, we'll fund it, cool, delay it for a year, and fix it. You don't want to fix it? What do you expect people to do? Now, do I agree with people losing their jobs? Absolutely not, Jerry. But all I'm saying is, if we, you know, now there's the other school of thought, which you probably be surprised, some Republicans have said is, look, let them have the law. When they see the effects of the law and the stuff it does to them, it'll prove itself. Either it'll get repealed, we'll vote a new president, we'll get repealed, or the House will flip, the House and the Senate will get back, we'll repeal it, get rid of it, let people feel the effects. I'm of the mind, I'm kind of in agreement with that, because you know what? If you voted for Obama back in, this is what you get. Take your medicine. Let it be what it is. But at the same time, and I said this the other day, you won't agree with it, and probably most African Americans won't, but I'll be honest with you. I don't care, and this is my firm belief, and I know I'm right. And I was telling somebody, I was sitting at the table eating dinner the other day, and I was telling some friends of mine who was eating dinner, and I told them, I said, the only reason why I don't back that theory that says let the people see how bad Obamacare is, and then they'll turn, or whatever, if it's really a bad law, then people will change the law, vote new people in and get rid of it. I said it won't happen. I don't believe it'll happen. Because I don't care what happens. Every person who voted and supports Obama will never, I don't care if it tears this economy to the ground, they'll never, ever, ever put it at the feet of Obama. They'll never see it that way. They'll never see it that
way. Well, wait a minute.
They'll never see
now,
it
that way. Now, how about the mindset of this? You said that they want to, they'll agree to whoever. They may agree to put it off for a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about putting it in, getting people back to work, approving this, and then a visit in another year, and if it needs to be fixed, fix it.
Because they won't do it.
Well, wait a minute. So that's why we're at because
but
the fact is, one side says we'll visit it a year from now. We want to delay it for a year. And I just said
mm-hmm.
a few minutes ago that
mm-hmm.
that delay, that's going to happen year after year after year. And you
mm-hmm.
and I both know that. That's just BS.
Right.
So what's the difference?
But in this way,
you get people back to work. That's what I'm talking about. And then
because
you revisit
then once
it.
You, yeah, but once you but see the thing about it is, but here's the thing. I agree with what you're saying. If here's my thing. If the Democrats were going to go ahead and say, all right, we're going to go ahead and promise you, we'll put it in writing that we'll negotiate and we'll go through this during that year. We will get together and actually do it. But here's the problem. The problem is, if the Democrat, I'm gonna be honest with you, if the Democrat, if they said, all right, we'll get everybody to work, and the Democrats said, okay, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna get together, we're gonna negotiate it, we're gonna fix it, it'll never happen. Because you know why I know it won't happen? I can prove it to you. Because right now, what have they said? They've offered them three different options, and all they said is, no, we ain't even considering it. We ain't even doing it. So what would make you think if we put everybody back to work and then we come to them and say, all right, dude, you know what Harry Reid and them going to say? They're going to say, hell no, get out of our face. We're not doing anything. See you next year. We'll have that fight next year. And we're not going to
do anything. Well, that's going to happen both ways. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because everyone's so entrenched and dug in.
But how is that? But
Wait a minute, finish. Everyone's dug in, regardless of what side of the aisle you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone dug in to get their way, okay?
Okay. Okay.
And American people are
mm-hmm.
in the middle, getting
mm-hmm.
getting hosed, and the people that are out of work because of this government shutdown are getting
mm-hmm.
hosed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going on? And it's a stare down, and whoever blinks first is going to win, and no one's blinking.
Right. This is the only way it's going to get done. I wish it could be done the way you said it. I'd agree with it. I would. But the problem is both. But here's my problem. Here's what everybody's not seeing. Here's the compromise. What you just said. Get everybody back to work, and then negotiate. What's the difference between that and saying, put it in writing that we'll delay it for a year, we'll talk about it, fix it, and we'll get everybody back to work? No, I'm just asking. What is that? What part of that is not compromise? I'm just asking. What part of that? Let me put it in perspective for you. If I say to you, Jerry, you have a great hamburger place, and I got some hungry people. But we don't want you to put bacon on it. We want you to put cheese on it. I'm just giving you a good example. We put
mm-hmm.
cheese on it. And I said, and you say, man, I ain't trying to change my hamburger. It comes with bacon. I don't want no cheese on it. But
right.
there are hungry people outside, and I say to you, okay, tell you what. You know what? Tell you what. Don't put two slices of cheese on it. Just put half a slice of cheese on it and leave it with bacon, and all these people, we can feed them instead of them out here being hungry. Now, and we can talk about it, Jerry. And you say no. Who's compromising and who's not in that situation?
Well, I understand what you're saying there.
So what I'm saying, so here's what I'm saying. I'm not
but,
trying
but,
to
but,
say.
But,
here's my
but
thing. I'm
the,
not
the,
trying
the,
to
the problem,
say.
The problem is this. The problem is this. Besides what I told you, on both sides, there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of venomous things going on and venomous
exactly.
feelings. And it's a huge amount of distrust that goes with that.
Absolutely.
So
I agree with
so,
you.
And so if one party says, oh, we'll do this, the other party says, I can't trust you because, I just can't trust you because the simple fact is I don't think you're going to follow through with it.
Right. I agree with that. But I'll be honest with you every time we've come to this kind of stuff, this whole thing, whether it's been the raising the debt ceiling or anything else, every time the people who have compromised, it's been who? Who's compromised? Since Obama's been in, who's been compromised every time they come up with the credit or the debt ceiling or they come up to a debt? Who always compromised? I just want to ask, who compromised? It's
both sides
the
compromise. Both sides the compromise.
Yes, it is.
Matt,
when? Okay, let me ask you something. When we said a balance, wait a minute. When they said we're not going to give you no more money in the debt ceiling until you provide a balanced budget, we haven't got a balanced budget in 5 years. On the two times we've done it, we have not. And every time, guess what happens? The Republicans go, all right, we'll sit and negotiate for a year, and we'll go ahead and raise the debt ceiling. Not one time in the 5 years that Obama's been here has the Democrats not gotten their way. Not one. Show me one. Not one. So that's
well,
what I'm saying. But see, this is where the media comes in. I'm not, and like I said, I'm not saying this to you to prove, because I like to be right. I don't like to be right. But what I'm saying is, this is what everybody forgets because the media reports it to you like those nasty, mean Republicans don't never compromise. Like, dude, they pass their signature stuff. Every time it comes to a debt ceiling, it never lasts long because usually they come to some kind of agreement, but the Republicans never get what they want, everything they want, but the Democrats get what they want. They're not the ones crying and bitching and moaning and complaining about anything. They don't. They got everything their way. When he had both houses in his first two, three years, he did everything he wanted. He had the votes to do everything he wanted, and he didn't. He could have put anything he wanted past it and it had been done. And that's when he got Obamacare in. So all I'm saying to you is this, is that when you really look at it from a vantage standpoint, I understand. Here's my point. I understand the whole thing because if you're looking at it from the outside, you're not level head, you're not really looking at it, you would think that, you know, you two guys are silly. You're really stupid. But if you really look at what's being offered and what's being said and what's being done, you're like, okay, well, that's a compromise. That's why I said, now I'll be honest with you. When they first said they were gonna defund it if they didn't put it in there, I even thought that, okay, that's kind of extreme because that ain't going to happen. I said, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. That's not a good strategy. Like, it's not going to happen. But as they came back, after they were bouncing the bill back and forth, they finally came to a point where they said, you know what, we'll go ahead and fund the government, fund everything. We're good. We'll go ahead and do it. But delay it for a year. That was the last thing they gave him. And Harry Reid and them said, nope. And yet, you're giving waivers to people to either opt out of it, get out of it, or get it off it, and you're changing these laws. And I'm like, okay, but that gives you a signal. Obama himself is doing it. So my thing is that's a signal that it's not a good law. So fix it. So what would make more sense is to say, okay, look, we delay it for a year. We'll go ahead and fix it. And here's the crazy part. Now, I know this is crazy, but if I'm a president of the United States and I got people out here who are going to lose their jobs in government like I say they are, what's the harm in me delaying it for a year and letting these people go back to work and saying, all right, we'll sit around and negotiate this and we'll do it? If not for the sake of the people who are going to lose their jobs, if not for the sake, because at the end of the day, it ain't about Democrat, Republican. It ain't about power. It ain't about this guy, that guy, this guy. It's about the American people. And at the end of the day, if I got 800,000 people that's going to lose their jobs, I'm going to take a compromise and say, you know what, I delay it for a year. We're going to talk about this. Well, we'll talk about the change, whatever, whatever. Just sacrifice for those 800,000 people. Harry Reid didn't do it. Obama didn't do it. And everybody can sit and blame the Republicans, say they're holding up this stuff because that's what the media tells you. But the thing about it is, if I offer that to you, you just got it on my example I told you. That's compromise. They bounced this thing back, and the Republicans moved three or four steps off of where they were, which was totally defunding it. Then they get to a point where they said, go ahead, we'll do it, just delay it for a year. Just delay it for 1 year. Now, I understand where you're coming from is you're saying your distrust because you're on the other side, and you say, you know what, all y'all going to do is keep doing this. Well, here's the thing. They're going to keep doing it in the next 3 years anyway, so why not delay it for a year, let the people work, let the government be shut down, and go ahead and say we'll do it for a year. If we end up at this place next year, guess what? Okay, cool, we do it again. Well, here's the thing. In a year's time, there's elections anyway. So at that point, if it's that good and you fix it, who's to say you can't win both houses? Who says it won't stay the same? Who's to say you're good anyway? That's my point. I'm not saying in a year's time delay it and don't do nothing about it. What I'm saying is you're the president. Delay it for a year. Fix it. Fix the thing. That's all I'm saying because it's obvious that it don't work right because you, Obama, not nobody else, is giving out waivers. Obama is delaying parts of the law because it's complicated and it's not working right and it's having cause and effects on it. If labor is coming to your place telling you, hey, dude, we don't want this, the AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka is coming to your joint talking about, man, we ain't trying to get none of this, man, take us out. Dude, you know how big that thing, the AFL-CIO is? They're coming and they're getting a waiver? Like, that's not right. That's not fair. So obviously it's not a good law. So why not delay it and fix it? That way the unions can come under. Or, guess what? You revoke the joints and say, you know what? Everybody going to get it. And that's the whole. And that was the last thing the Republicans also gave on there too. Is they said, you know what? Make it good for Congress. Make it good for everybody. We'll go ahead and do it. And guess what? The Harry Reid and them said, nope. So for these people who are sitting on Facebook telling me about how these nasty Republicans are doing all this and doing all that, they've been the ones who've been sending over the stuff and moved off. If they were still sitting here saying we want to defund it and we closing the government until you do, and they were sticking there, guess what I'd say? You know what, Jerry? You're absolutely right. Republicans are wrong. They should move off. They should compromise. They've already passed that bill back and forth 5 or 6 times before we shut this government down, and each time they moved off a little bit and came up with something different. And every time, the Republicans didn't come back with a bill and said, Republicans never came back with a bill and said, you know what, we'll do this if you do that. All they said was, we ain't going to pass no bill, we ain't going to pass nothing that don't have it clean, and you take Obamacare out of it totally. Yet you're giving waivers to it, you're not doing it, Congress ain't under it, whatever. So that's my point. I'm not saying you're not right in the distrust. I agree with you. There's a lot of distrust. There's a lot of stuff in it. I'm not against that at all. I see you, Jerry. Honestly, I see you on that. But the fact of the matter is, when you really look at it all together, read up on it, and you look at the bills that the Republicans passed back and forth to the Senate, you'll see that the Republicans actually moved back and lessened where they were. You know that because you know the last bill wasn't to repeal it. The last bill they passed through was said, look, delay it for a year. That's a long way off saying we're going to defund it. We don't totally want it, period. That's a long way off saying delay it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long way off where they came from. And then to sit and say, we'll put it under everybody, let Congress and everybody then take the waivers away and put everybody under it if it's so good, and we'll pass it. Dude, what more can you ask for? If it's so good and you're backing it, why won't you take it, Harry Reid? Why won't you take it, Nancy Pelosi? Why won't all y'all take it under there, Democrat and Republican? But Harry Reid and them are the ones who said, we ain't passing it. The Republicans are willing to say, we'll all go under it. We'll all be subject to it. No waivers, everything, just do that. And the Democrats said, no. And he told them, take it and shove it. And they never came back with nothing. All they said is, we will do it if it's clean of Obamacare. Take Obamacare off the table, period, point blank, and then we'll do it. Republicans kept saying, okay, we'll come back with this. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? They kept saying no, 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 no. But the media and the Democrats will have you believe that the mean-on ass Republicans are the ones who shut the government down, and they're not doing it, when it's really both. It's both, and I see it in your eyes where you say it's both, because, yeah, they agreed. They said we want to do this. Both shut it down. But at the same time, Jerry, you gotta look and look at what was shut. Read up on the different versions that the Republicans sent to the House, and you tell me where they didn't move. We're coming off. We want to totally kill it, gone and repeal it. We going to, well, not repeal it, but defund it. They want to totally get rid of it. All the way to now, they say, well, you know what? Put everybody under it, and then we'll pass it. And they said no. You can't. I'm sorry. That's compromise. That's a big compromise. You know, going from where you want to get defunded to where you say, all right, fine, just put us all under it then. It doesn't make sense, but the Democrats won't do it. So all I'm saying to you is that, you know, I get where you're coming from, but I just think we as African Americans need to look at it a little closer. And you're a level-headed guy, but most are not. Most African Americans are on Facebook and Twitter and other places where I've seen it, and they just steady blaming them. But I'm like, you're not reading what's being sent back and forth. It's being reported, but you guys are ignoring it, and all you're just jumping to is the Republicans are shutting the government down and Democrats. You know, I'm not going to sit and be so far. I'm an independent, but I'm not going to be so far independent or leaning left or right to a point where I'm not going to say that's wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that because it's just not right. So I'm never going to be so far with Republicans that I put it like this. I will never back the Republicans if it's something blatantly wrong. If I look at it and I see it's wrong, I'm not going to say it. Even if it's against Republicans, or if independents say they want to do something and, you know, they don't like it and they're doing something wrong, I'd be the first one to sit and say, no, that ain't right. That ain't right. And if we were sitting here right now and Republicans were saying we want to defund it and we ain't moving, I'd say that's wrong. So I dig what you're, you know, I get what you're saying. I get it 110%. But I just think we need to start really looking at it and finding out who's really compromising. And the Democrats are not compromising.
Yeah, okay.
Read in there and you show me where they came back, and it's just not that way. So anyway, as we said, we've had a good spirited debate again. Jerry, being the level-headed guy that he is, I wish everybody could be as level-headed as you. Even though you argue strong, you don't, you know, like I said, you're one of the few, dude. Trust me, you're in, like, you're like in the political hall of fame right now. Like, dude, like he's black and he's actually level-headed. That's pretty good. He doesn't have his head so far up Obama's ass that he can't see anything.
You're right about that.
I like that.
There's a few things that I'm not happy that I've seen him do. Trust me.
I understand that, and I've expressed it to other people. I'm the guy. You got to remember, I'm the guy who called Obama pussy on Facebook, and I got lit up about it. You know, and I'm like, but that's the truth, though. If you can fight, why would you want to fight? No, if you're going to fight everybody over here this hard over this stuff, but you won't fight Putin, you're going to say we're going to give a red line and then cop out and do the Democrat thing when you know the dudes ain't going to, they're going to sign an agreement, they're going to move the stuff. They're not going to do anything with it. Dude, you should have did, if you had a red line, don't say you got a red line if you ain't going to go over there and do it. What we always say. What my grandfather always say, don't pull a gun unless you're ready to shoot it. You just don't. You don't write checks that your butt can't cash. Don't say it's a red line if when the red line comes up and now they show you the evidence and you go, well, we trying to decide and see. Come on, dude. But yet if Boehner says, we want to change Obamacare, screw you. I'll fight you. You guys make me sick. Them was like, what in the heck, dude? Like, why don't you be a rabid dog against them dudes? You got Putin laughing at us. You got everybody else laughing at us because they're looking at you because you won't do what you said you was going to do. Your dude over there, what is his name, Assad? Assad laughing at you like, man, this dude ain't going to do nothing. You know, he's squishy like an octopus, man. I don't understand, man. My thing is you'll fight everybody over here so hard, your political enemies, but you won't fight people to protect this country and stand up for this country or at least stand up for something. I'm not even saying he had to go over there and go to a war. I'm not even saying you had to put boots on the ground. All I'm saying is if you say something, go over there and show your strength. I don't care if you go pass over the joint once or twice, bomb some stuff, show them what's up. That's it. It ain't like he's going to go grab a whole bunch of people and come back and fire back at us. What are you going to do? Nothing. He can't do nothing with it. And that's my point. So with that being said, we're going to end another show. We've had a spirited political debate. And, you know, this is where we are right now. But like I said, to all those out there who are not at the government or whatever, I'm praying for you. I hope you all get back to work. I really hope they come to a resolution or some kind of thing soon because I do want to see people back.
Stay civil, people. Don't get crazy like some of these people have
died. Stay civil. Yeah, stay civil. I mean, and you know, check your facts. You know, don't just believe what the white man, black man, or whoever it is, you know, especially Al Sharpton. Don't believe nothing he say. Go check everybody.
Oh, here we go. Let's get out of here.
I'm going to check everybody out. Check O'Reilly out. Check everybody out. Check Fox News out. Check your stats. Get on the internet. Read. Find out for yourself because there is propaganda in all media, and it's going to lean left or right. But at the end of the day, if you can go to a .gov, a .this, a .that, as long as it's not leaning left or right and it's there and you see the stats, then believe it. But you got to look at it and you got to be fair about it. So, you know, that's all I'm encouraging you guys. Have a great week, Jerry. Have a great week,
folks.
Same to
you, my man.
And please listen to Jerry's show on Sunday. It's 10 o'clock or 10:30?
10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
10 o'clock a.m. is called, what is it called again?
It's called
like
the Master Plan.
It's called the Master Plan. And yes, and if you know anything about fantasy or you're starting a fantasy football league, you're in it, you're starting it, need any tips or anything, I highly recommend you go to that show, sit there and listen to the master with the whole, right now he's loving my Calvin Johnson. He's loving my
Absolutely.
Calvin Johnson right now.
Absolutely.
He's loving my Reggie Bush right now.
Oh,
Reggie
man,
Bush
I'm absolutely
killing.
Loving Reggie Bush. Absolutely.
I know you
loving
it. I was sitting there Sunday going like, oh, my God. Jerry is somewhere right now going like, go, baby, go, baby,
yes,
go.
Exactly. My wife was looking at me like I was crazy because I was jumping around.
I was going to say, I can hear you all the way in here. Like, I can hear you all the way here in D.C. I was like, Slim, he just ran that nice little 50, 60-yard touchdown, jumped over the dude, kept running. I'm like, my goodness, right now, he is killing it. I predict at the end of the year, I think Calvin Johnson and Reggie Bush, if both stay healthy, I predict that any fantasy owners that have them will be carrying a lot of people to victory. If you got
Absolutely.
Both, man, woo, dude, man, that's crazy. I can tell you right now, anybody who's got Calvin Johnson in the country, who's got Calvin Johnson on their same team as Reggie Bush and Peyton Manning, my goodness, Y'all might as well go ahead and give them the trophy, baby.
Exactly.
Might as well give them the trophy, dude. Just close the, shut it down, give them the trophy, it's done. Because I'm telling you, there's some people out there like that, and you don't have, you have no chance. No chance. Your only chance is for somebody to get injured. And I don't think Peyton getting injured because he's back there eating ham sandwiches and throwing the ball whenever, wherever he want to throw it at. He back there eating dinner. Sits down, cuts his steak, eats a chunk, stands up, and throws the ball. Calvin Johnson is now getting one-on-one coverage because of Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush is getting it now, and he gets doubled. Now it's Calvin. You can't double-team both. Man, are you kidding me? And, I mean, this is just – this is going to be a great season, man. But, anyway, I won't delay it anymore, man. Have a great week, Jerry. Have a great
you
week,
do
folks.
Too.
Next week we will have a guest, and it will be Don't Be a Bama CEO. They have a clothing line out there called Don't Be a Bama. Be here 7 p.m. next Friday night, and they will be here. Until then, God bless you guys, and I will see you later. See you later, Jerry.
Take care.